Let me tell you about my grandma. She is 91 years old. She is fighting fit, fiercely independent. She's healthy, strong, active, capable. I would describe her, if I was choosing an animal to describe my grandma, I would say she's a lioness. She is fiercely independent. She is strong. A week ago, my grandma had a fall. I went to visit her, and in the hospital I could still see the strength was still there, the strength of that lioness strength. I wonder how you picture yourself. How would you describe yourself if you were to choose an animal? What would it be? Would it be a lion? Would you picture yourself as, yeah, I'm strong, I've got the flowing mane. Maybe you'd pick an owl. Wise, insightful, people come to you for advice. Or a horse, an eagle, maybe a giraffe, or a bald eagle, perhaps. How does God see us? When he looks at us, though, of all these animals, all the animals in the creation, what does God think of when he looks at us? Does the Bible tell us? Sheep. He looks at humanity and he sees sheep. What's one word that you can describe a sheep with? I'll tell you. Helpless. You don't see sheep in the wild, do you? They are completely helpless. They need someone to care for them and to protect them. And my 91-year-old grandmother, even though I thought I saw a lioness, on that day, I was sitting with her. The doctor brought in the news that her fall had resulted in her breaking her neck. This was the second time in her life that she has broken her neck. Two vertebrae cracked. And what I saw was a sudden demeanor change in my grandma. I saw fear. I saw her realize that she's helpless. And that was exacerbated when the doctor asked her, do you have an advanced care directive? Yes, she said. And what does it say? Do not resuscitate. And that's when the fear really sank in. The theory of what she desired had suddenly become a reality that might happen. And the doctor left and we sat there in silence. And after a moment, I asked her, I said, did that frighten you? Yes. Are you all right with God? Now, my grandma has been going to church her whole life, 91 years old, going to church her whole life. And her response was telling. I hope that I lived a good enough life. That was her response. And so I said to her, can I tell you why the gospel is such good news, Grandma? Now, I don't think I did a great job of explaining the gospel to her. I got interrupted a number of times by medical staff coming in and out. But at that moment, she realized how helpless she was. She realized that she was a sheep. That we're all sheep, and we need a shepherd. And we need a shepherd who has authority, the power to do something about our state, to do something about death, and also we need a shepherd who has the affection, the love that would send them to do that. We need comfort in life and death. My grandma needed comfort in her life and death. She needed a good shepherd. She needed to know the good shepherd. And it's in this passage that we find that Jesus is the good shepherd that we need. And what I want us to see this morning is that Jesus being the good shepherd, I'm so glad that Tim put up that picture of that we often see when we think of Jesus as the good shepherd, that it's not him holding a staff and a little lamb under his armpit, gazing off into the distance. No, the picture I want us to have is one that has the good shepherd has such divine power and authority, and that he uses that for our good because of his great love for us as his sheep. that he has authority and affection for us, for his sheep. And that alone will bring us comfort in life and in death. Jesus uses this illustration in response to the Pharisees, and there's four things that we can see from what it means for him to be the good shepherd. He says, he saves, the good shepherd saves, the good shepherd cares, the good shepherd knows, and the good shepherd secures his sheep. So first, the good shepherd saves. Have a look at verse 7. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." In Jesus' time, shepherds would build a pen to keep their sheep safe at night. They'd build it out of stone. It would be high enough so that a predator couldn't jump in or the sheep jump out. And it would have a single opening, just large enough for an animal or the shepherd themselves to walk through. And the shepherd would act like a gate or a door. Nothing would get into or out of that pen unless it went through the shepherd. At nighttime, they would sleep in that gap to keep the sheep in and to keep them safe. So picture it. You've been eating grass all day. Your tummy's nice and full. The sun's getting low. And you look around and the other sheep are starting to head to the hills. And you say, "Hey, where are yous off to?" They're heading to the pen. They needed to get to the pen. Why? Because the pen means safety. Because it's only the sheep pen that will keep them safe, and the only way in is through the shepherd. They need to enter through that gap, through the gate that is the shepherd. See, the gate means salvation. The gate means life. It means protection and provision. If anything wants to get to the sheep, they've got to go through the gate first. The claim that Jesus is making here is that there is only one way to be saved. There is only one, and only the good shepherd has the authority and the ability to save and to protect. He is the gate through which the sheep must enter. And he saves his sheep because he loves them. Because of the affection that he has for them. He saves them because he cares. Look at verse 11. "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." See, unlike the Pharisees who in the previous chapter, when the man who was born blind was healed and they found out Jesus had done it and the man himself affirmed Jesus must be from God because of what he's done, what do these would-be shepherds do? They throw him out of the herd. They cast him out. They don't care for the sheep. See, unlike the Pharisees and unlike the hired hands and unlike the thieves and the robbers, the good shepherd, he gives up his life for the sheep. If you were a hired hand, if you lost a sheep, you didn't have to pay it back. If you kept all the sheep safe, you didn't get a bonus. You just got paid a flat rate for being a hired hand. And so if you're at nighttime lying in the gap, protecting the sheep in the pen, and you hear the wolves howling as they get the scent of those sheep and they're coming closer, there's nothing holding you there. Why would you risk getting hurt or giving up your life for sheep? I'd rather them than me. I'd be out of there too. They're sheep. Why would I get hurt for them? I'm gone. It's not true of the good shepherd. He willingly lays down his life because he loves the sheep. It's for them that he lays down his life. Did you see verse 11? "I'm the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep." It's for them. And it's in accordance with the Father's will. Verse 17. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life for the sheep. The Father loves the Son because the Son lives in complete obedience to his will, which is to save the sheep, because he loves the sheep. And so the Son willingly gives up his life. But he gives it up in his authority. No one takes his life from him. Verse 18, no one takes it from him. Pilate didn't have any control of that situation. When he condemned Jesus to death, Jesus willingly gave up his life. Jesus remained silent in Pilate's presence because he knew that if he spoke, he'd be able to get out of the death penalty. Now, Jesus willingly gives up his life. He has the authority to do so as the Good Shepherd. And he has the love for the sheep that the Father has, that he willingly does it as well. And it's in the cross that he takes the full impact of our sin. A father and son were traveling in a bus on the way to a funeral. The son was staring out the windows, watching the shadow of the bus race across the landscape. And with glazed eyes, he turned to his dad and he said, "Dad, why did God let Poppy die?" His dad took a moment and he replied, "Son, Poppy loved Jesus. Yes, he's no longer with us, but death is not the end for him. Do you see the shadow of the bus? Would you rather be hit by the shadow of the bus or the bus itself?" So boy scratched his head. "Well, the shadow, obviously." "Well, son, on the cross, Jesus paid the full penalty of our sin. He took the full impact of sin in his death. Jesus got hit by the bus so that you and I and Poppy will only ever get hit by its shadow." Jesus, the Good Shepherd, lays down his life for the sheep with complete authority and with full affection, because he cares for the sheep. He saves. He cares. He knows. Look at verse 3. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. The Good Shepherd knows every sheep by name. He knows every name in his fold. But not only that, verse 14, "I am the Good Shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me." In what way? "Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father." The same knowledge that he has for each of his sheep, that if you are a follower of Jesus, a believer in Jesus, he knows you fully and completely. There is nothing hidden from his knowledge of you. Just as the Father and the Son of the Godhead know each other. Nothing hidden, no secrets, everything exposed. He knows you more than anyone else could ever know you in all your complexity. The Good Shepherd knows you in your struggle. He knows you in your struggle for contentment in your current situation. He knows you in your pain. He knows you in your sickness. He knows you in your depression, in your fears and worries. He knows you in your tensions that you have with others. He knows you. There is nothing outside of his knowledge of you. He sees you for who you are. He knows your sin. He knows your guilt. He knows your shame. He knows you, his sheep. Nothing is hidden from him. That's his authority. everything exposed. But listen, his affection means nothing hinders his love for you. He knows you fully, and nothing hinders his love for you. Nothing gets in the road of it. That's why he lays down his life for you. He knows that you need him to. So you can come to him with anything. You can be open and honest with him because he already knows it. And he has the authority to do something about it, and he has the affection, the love for you that he willingly does something about it. And his knowing of you means that he promises to provide you with what you need for today. Did you see verse 9? Look at the end of verse 9. They will come in and out and find pasture. The good shepherd knows what his sheep need, and he will provide for them what they need for today. He will give you enough grace for today. Not for hypothetical situations tomorrow, not for the what-ifs of the future, but grace for today. He knows what you need now, and he promises to give you exactly what you need. Will you listen to him and follow him? Will you look to him for those very needs that you know you have? Because he promises to give them to you. See, the good shepherd saves his sheep. He cares for his sheep. He knows his sheep. And he secures his sheep. Verse 27. Now, this is a conversation that Jesus has later on. We're not sure exactly how much later. But the Jews, they want to know, come on, tell us plainly, are you the Christ? Well, I have told you, but you don't understand, you don't know because you're not my sheep. But my sheep, verse 27, my sheep listen to my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. See, the Good Shepherd, Jesus, he holds his sheep in such a firm grasp that no one can pry them from his fingers. And even if they could, his hands are clasped within the hands of the Father, who is greater than all. No one can possibly tear his sheep from his hands. The Good Shepherd wants you to know he has the authority to hold you, and he has the affection that he draws you close. Nothing can take you from him. When I was a new dad, I was always amazed at Lexi, my wife's ability to wrap our newborn. She would get that blanket and she would completely cocoon them. Just their face would be showing. And wrap them so tight. I could never wrap like Lexi could. It must be a mother thing. I don't know if guys, we just struggle to wrap babies well, but mums just seem to wrap them so tight. Why do they wrap them so tight? Well, because it makes them feel safe and secure. It makes the baby feel safe and secure to know that it's held tightly. That's what God the Father and God the Son want their children to know, that they are completely secure and safe in his hands. See, everything can be taken from you in this life. Everything. Your health, your wealth, your job, your reputation can be taken from you. Your family can be taken from you. Death eventually will take everything from you. Nothing will be left. But you can never be taken from him. You could lose everything, and you will never lose your place in him, because he holds you, not you holding him. The authority of the Good Shepherd will never let you go. The affection of the Good Shepherd, he holds you close. And so the question must be, are you one of his sheep? Are you one of his sheep? How do you know if you're one of his sheep? Well, Jesus actually gives us two marks. There are two marks that his sheep bear to show that they're his. The first mark is in the ear, similar to what farmers still do. They still give an ear tag, don't they, to show ownership of the sheep. The first mark for a true sheep of Jesus is in the ear. His sheep listen to his voice. Verse 3, halfway through, I think it is. The sheep listen to his voice. The end of verse 4, they know his voice. Verse 16, he's talking about going out to the nations, bringing others in who aren't part of the Jewish people to be part of God's people. They too will listen to my voice. Verse 27, as we just saw, my sheep listen to my voice. They pay attention to what the good shepherd has to say. They give weight to it. They receive it. How do they do that? How do we do that today? Jesus isn't walking around teaching today, so how do we hear his voice today? Well, Jesus is the Word become flesh. His voice, we hear it in his Word. It's in the scriptures that we hear Jesus speaking. This is why that if you're a follower of Jesus, you're someone of the book. You love the Bible. You read the Bible. You make it a priority to hear what he has to say to you in his word. Because it's in his word that you encounter him. It's in the Bible that you learn of him, that you grow in him, that you're rebuked by him. That you find reason to rejoice in him and to worship him. Do you have that mark on your ear that you listen to the good shepherd? But it's not just about listening. Do you have the mark on your foot? Is there a mark on your feet? See, the good shepherd, his sheep, they don't just listen to his voice. They don't just fill their head up with scripture. No, they follow the shepherd. They hear and then they walk. Are you walking the way the good shepherd says to go? Are you reading his word and then seeking to live in obedience to it? Are you living a life that's worthy of your calling as one of his sheep? Growing in your sin-slaying sanctification. Are you putting sin to death in your life as you see it rise up because you want to live a life that's devoted to your good shepherd? The good shepherd, his sheep, are known because they have a mark in their ear and a mark on their feet. And as they follow, they need to follow like children follow their parents. You know, young children, when they're down the main street, it's busy. How do they follow mum and dad? I know there's outliers. I had one of them that runs off, does their own thing. But on the whole, well, they want to be close. They want to hold mum and dad's hand. They want to know that they're safe. They don't want to go off on their own. They don't want to get lost. They want to be as close as possible. That's how a walk is to be with Jesus. We're to listen to his voice, and then as much as we can, we're to follow him in what he says, in how he tells us to live. Because he has the authority to tell us, and because we know that he knows what is best for us, and we trust that he has great affection to us. And so we willingly seek to walk close. Don't be like a teenager who walks with their parents down the street. You know what I'm talking about. Now, I know there's outliers of this as well, but on the whole, where do teens walk when their parents walk down the street? It doesn't have to be a busy street. It could be any street. 5 metres down behind, at least, or in front, but not beside them, are they? I don't want to be seen with these goofs. I don't want to identify. Don't be a teenager in your walk with Christ. Don't keep at a distance and follow kind of just behind. Stay as close to the Good Shepherd as you can. And the only way to do that is to be listening to him and then seeking to live in accordance with what he says. Now, Jesus, at the end of both interactions, it just brings division amongst the people. Some want to stone him to death, others believe. And he just points out that's because some are his sheep and some aren't. And the gospel of Jesus will always sort out the flock. But the only way that you and I can have any comfort in life and in death is to know the Good Shepherd. And so, the best summary of this is in the Heidelberg Catechism. The best summary of this passage. A catechism is simply a way of teaching biblical truth where you pose a question and then using the Bible, answer that question with biblical thought and insight and texts. And the Heidelberg Catechism, it has its first question, what is your only comfort in life and death? Now, you've got this in your outlines. And I must point out there is a typo. It says the tranny of the devil. It should say the tyranny of the devil. Picture the devil driving down the main street in his tranny. So tyranny of the devil, not tranny. But what I wanted to do this morning, you've got a copy with you. I want to read the question, and then as a church family, I want us to read out the answer so at least the person beside you can hear you. Because this is what it means to have Jesus as your good shepherd. And as you read out the response, think deeply about what it's saying that you have. And if you're not yet one of his sheep, this is what he offers. Comfort in life and in death. So church family, what is your only comfort in life and death? Let's read it out together. That I am not my own, but belong body and soul in life and in death to my faithful Saviour, Jesus Christ. He has fully paid for my sins with his precious blood and has set me free from the tyranny of the devil. He also watches over me in such a way that not a hair can fall from my head without the will of my Father in heaven. In fact, all things must work together for my salvation. Because I belong to him, Christ, by his Holy Spirit, assures me of eternal life and makes me wholeheartedly willing and ready from now on to live for him. This is our only comfort in life and death, that we are his, that we have such a good shepherd. See, my grandma, she needs to trust not in her good works, but in the good shepherd. Now, grandma's at home, she's doing well, but I'm praying that the Spirit might use my words, my fumbling words, in some way to help her to see her need for the good shepherd. Because it's only the good shepherd who has the authority and the affection to save. He saves, he cares, he knows, and he secures his sheep. And that is what brings us comfort in life and in death. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that it was your will, your plan to send your Son to be our good shepherd. We thank you that he willingly came for us, that he willingly laid down his life for his sheep. We thank you that he is the one with you together holding your sheep firmly. We thank you that he knows us, and yet he still loves us deeply. Father, we pray that those who do not yet know this shepherd, that they would come to hear and to understand and to desire to be one of his sheep. And Father, we pray that you would, through your people, through your word, be calling your sheep home, here in Wagga as we seek to live a life and speak a gospel that saves people, but also throughout the nations. Father, bring your flock in so that there will be one flock and one shepherd. And we pray this for the glory of our shepherd Jesus and for the joy of your people, his sheep. In Jesus' name, amen.